Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed is our creator, souls, and get ready because now you're tuned into the higher inner frequency of Soul Class. We got a little technical difficulty. Well, here comes the time, but Isaac Patton from his Here Comes, or actually Generation Redemption album, that was from a couple years ago. Blessed as creator, and we're live because we want to stay alive in Torat Chaim, instructions of life, Torat Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torat Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're in tune to Blog Talk Radio's higher inner frequency of Soul Class, class number 452, Thoughtful Soul Garments, presentation number 3. Bracha, blessing, and shalom, peace upon the human family experience. As we're broadcasting live right now at 11:02 Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, unifying souls. Actually, program content will focus upon the blessed soul garment of thought as it relates to the blessed soul garment of speech, and hopefully this will manifest as an empowerment for those listening to invest their potentialities and actualize their human beingness or being human in the blessed soul garment of action. As well, about halfway into the program, we're extending usually our 30-minute presentation to a one-hour presentation because we have the day off and it's snowing. We haven't given out our required shalach monot, shalach monas. And for those of you know, and those you don't know, we give out at least 2 gifts today to our fellow Jews, and if we're women, our fellow Jewesses. And we want to present alongside this some spiritual shalach monas, some Purim PowerPoints, which will be shared today. Because as we just mentioned, today is Purim, the 14th of Adar on the Hebrew calendar. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Okay, so there's no surprise. Anyway, the call-in number is 347-838-8669. I will apologize in advance if I don't bring you on to speak or give your comments, questions, concerns, blessed souls. That's what we usually reserve for other programs. But today I like to go solo once a week. Our humble efforts, not hand solo, but to show you, of course, there's a greater source than the force that was portrayed in Star Wars, which was alluding in some refracted, deflected, delusional way that the Creator is the source of everything that we can tap into to be warriors of light, dispensers of Torah knowledge, hopefully in a peaceful and pleasant manner. And truly, we are humbled today, blessed souls, to be broadcasting. Last week I was unable to broadcast because I was not feeling well. And by the way, my name is Dunzel Hugh Goodman, your local cyberspace international Torah activist. Last week I was a little bit under the weather, and I want to give a big shout out to my acupuncturist, Chinese medicine doctor, Dr. Hung Tang of 210 Canal Street here in the Big Apple, where not everything is rotten. We have outstanding individuals like Dr. Hung Tang, who mamish is like, I would say, the Michael Jordan of acupuncture medicine. He knows how to take away the pain, and you feel all right when he takes away that pain. We're also humbled by the idea, blessed souls, that if we truly come to understand that within the various dimensions of thought, speech, and action, they are considered as if non-existent in relation to the divine world of intellect. And within the divine world of intellect, there resides a divine level of thought which generates hidden worlds. While thoughts, those very divine thoughts residing within the divine world of intellect, are in fact quite concealed to human beings devoid of learning such teachings, which are outsourced or rooted in Mushrash, Panimias, or Panimiyot Torah, the inner dimensions of Torah. Now, when we get within the context of these divine thoughts within the world of Atzilus, the divine world of intellect, these are those crystal clear, holy divine thoughts are in fact quite tangible and possess existence as a divine speech which manifested via the 10 divine utterances. And to learn more about that, go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 3 through 29. And with that being said, those 10 divine utterances, which were the manifestation of divine speech, are actually equated to be an expression of Ayin Eloki, divine nothingness. And that's something which we'll have, hopefully we'll explore in the future, blessed souls. How could the source of all creation, manifesting into the creation that all of us can tangibly sense and be aware of and learn more about, be considered an expression of divine nothingness? A sense of self-abnegation, bitul eloki, godly self-nullification or abnegation. However, for now, let us, blessed souls, extract from the above macrocosmic scenario and downsize it to the level of one, or say, let's consider a teeny tiny human being, man or woman, for the thoughts, speech and actions experienced by being man or being woman, or man being or woman being, provides for us microcosmic expressions of concealed and revealed dimensions of Olam, of world. Now please bear in mind, blessed souls existing within the pristine levels of divinity, godliness, Elokus, human being was created according to the eternal divine Torah blueprint with an image of Creator, Tselem Elohim. And to learn more about this, see the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 27, which I'm also advising you that when you go to that verse in chapter 1, verse 27, just don't read the scripture, which is an empowerment of your consciousness, blessed souls, but as well, you can learn up the oral Torah traditions, which will bring out certain nuances which cannot be brought out by human intellect, except unless a person wants to make guesstimations or get into speculative philosophy, which is really taking them off the path of Torah learning, but rather to learn from the sages of Israel what are the nutritiously, spiritually dense molecules that are impacted in those few words in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, to learn about what is not only the Tzelem Elohim, the divine image, the image that each and every human being that ever was created and ever is created and will ever be created with this divine image, to learn about what are not only the greater understandings of this term means, but what are the implications in terms of our service to Creator and fellowshipping with other human beings. Now, within this design, Tzelem Elohim, divine image, are included all forms of primordial, micro, and macrocosmic worlds, which are hinted to within the design of being human or human being, way before our blessed human souls parachuted from above, and eventually were and are currently destined to trot upon this blessed earth, each one of us according to our 120 years or 120 points of seminal experience, until we get a call from above to return to Creator. So, everything that is tangibly evident within the upper realms of divine worlds, blessed souls, is hinted to when we learn how a human soul and a human body were, are, and always will be divine downloads within creation. The free will offered us as beings of human distinction, distinctively human, is whether or not we are interested in uploading from the inner dimensions of Torah, Panimiyas HaTorah, Panimiyas HaTorah, insights into our design, our very human natures in the most positive sense possible, and what then becomes our responsibility after becoming aware of such Torah knowledge. So we can understand within our own living experience, there are revealed and concealed worlds beyond our cognitive awareness. Yet, when we can admit to this without any sense of shame, then we begin to look within ourselves and seek to better understand those microcosmic, hidden and revealed worlds within our own blessed selves. And this is one aspect of loving ourselves, not in self-infatuated negative way, but rather as a form of praise to the Creator that we want to learn about who we are because Creator took the time to make us. And this is something that I recently heard by a very nice man, a good man, a righteous man, Rabbi Lazer Brody, who lives out in the land of Israel. He's a Breslev Chosid. And I would heavily suggest to learn more about this idea about learning about yourself and coming to love yourself in a positive Torah perspective manner. Just type in Rabbi Lazer Brody, LAZERBORDY, and just type in Lazer Brody videos, loving yourself, on YouTube. There's one about 8-minute video, almost 8 minutes, and there's one about 45 minutes. Heavily recommend you learn about that, blessed souls, because then you want to learn more about what you are according to Torah. But going back to the context in which we're trying to continue our presentation about thoughtful soul garments. For instance, consider the hidden world of your blessed heartbeat experience. Pumping, jumping, thumping, heaven forbid, never to be slumping. Do we consider that our blessed heart is answering to a level of awareness that is actually beyond human understanding? Yes. I know, blessed souls, we human beings can inject a very conscious effort and a very conscious effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, and affect, A-F-F-E-C-T, emotionally charged, positively charged, and even negatively charged emotions, which can come out of our search for ourselves and what we are composed of. We can wind up in an emotional plane of somewhere in between the two polar perspectives of generating more positive emotions about who we are, or unfortunately, we should stay away from them, those more negative emotions about ourselves. However, getting back to our blessed pump, our heart, how many of us have danced, ran, gone on uphill bike rides, and experienced that increasing pumping and thumping within our blessed chest cavity? And of course, we will mention parenthetically, when we engage in such activities, we're not surprised that there also occurs a flurry of elevated, cheerful brain chemistry, which of course is accessible to every person according to his or her physical ability to engage in such experiences as riding a bike and dancing and jumping and engaging in sports and all other type of active activities. Of course, as well, there are books of science, medicine, biology, spirituality, which describe states of mind involving different activities which can speed up, slow down, or maintain to a certain extent a steady controlled range of heartbeats. Yet, with all this information available and what we can experience via various mental, physical, and spiritual exercises, a constant truth resounds throughout our lives until our last inhalation of oxygen during our lives. Our hearts are beating, are being caused to beat by a supernal divine energy, which we can start at this exact moment in time and onward to seek to learn more about what this divine energy is all about and what is this divine energy not. Zot omeret, ma ze koyach eloki, and Manegeya lahasogot b'koyachas Elokim. So realistically, we speak about these matters realizing that these few words are really an expression of ayin, of nothingness, in relation to all possible thoughts considered, which may be on the part of you blessed souls listening in live, or eventually we'll hear the archived version of today's humble presentation. We are acutely aware that of the sense of ayinness in our presentation of nothingness in relation to all possible thoughts considered, accepted, rejected, attempting to, on our part, on my part, to, and hopefully somewhat being successful, sharing teachings which will help you, blessed souls, to access godliness, divinity, elokus, and channeling towards your blessed ears to be processed within your blessed brain, such teachings or awareness which were originally part of the thought process of a direct descendant of King David and Solomon by the name of Tzemach Tzedek, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, known as the Tzemach Tzedek, who lived from the late 18th century until the second half of the 19th century, until he went to the next level of life, from whom I've been extracting inspirations from basically the beginning of this series, Thoughtful Soul Garments, and we're now in Thoughtful Soul Garments presentation number 3. And I've been gleaning inspirations from a wonderful collection of books, Sforim, called Sefer HaLikutim, the Book of Gleanings. Now we will continue to briefly reflect and pluck continuously at this point in time from Sefer HaLikutim, that human speech, which is also one of the three blessed soul garments of the human soul, that which the soul can invest and enclose itself or some aspect, some shimmering from it into our soul garments of thought, speech, and action, that human speech is outsourced from a realm of human experience called concealed thought. So there's no novelty here, blessed souls, actually, that human thought to human speech is merely a transfer from concealment experience to revelation experience. On the other hand, a thought which is intellectually driven, in fact, produces a novelty outsourced from the essence of that intellectually driven thought. Due to the viable and so tangible thought experience, there now becomes for us an understanding that there can be the possession of a quality of entity, Bechinas Yesh, outsourced from intellect, prior to that intellect influencing any source or certain combination of letters, which we clarify once again, prior to enclosing its intellectual qualities with any certain combination of letters, a.k.a. a conscious thought, this intellect, or seichel, is actually, from the point of the receiver of such seichel, such intellect, is existing, or is existentially existing as an expression of Bechinas Ayin, of nothingness, an unrevealed primordial entity of intellect, which has no receiver at that point because it's, so to speak, subsumed within its own intellectuality, which is actually subsumed within the superconsciousness of any human being who is considering any form of intellect. And that form of subconscious, or what we call in Chassidus, inner dimensions of Torah, superconsciousness, is called the Koach HaMaskil, which is an area that hovers over the membranes, M-E-M-B-R-A-N-E-S, which hover over the right, left, and back brains of the blessed human mind experience. Having said that, we relate back to human thought and human speech. Consider, blessed souls, your thought experiences as a type of tangible matter, like a chunk of clay. Think of your thoughts as a chunk of clay, undeniably existing, possessing a volume, some sort of bulk or mass, possessing weight, a definite specified amount of heaviness or lightness, and density, a condition of thickness which is compacted or crowded matter or loosely compiled matter. So think about that with your thoughts, bless your soul. Sometimes your thoughts occupy a huge area within your current cognitive state, and those thoughts might be heavy thoughts, and they might be light thoughts, and those thoughts may be something that are connecting together with other thoughts previously that you thought of, or with the thoughts of others who you're interacting with, and it kind of crowds, again, the space within your mind to either want to learn more about it, that thought that you're pursuing, or perhaps to leave those thoughts because you're getting overwhelmed by those thoughts. But then consider, blessed souls, as we move on beyond this allegorical chunk of clay, which we'll get back to in a moment, consider your blessed soul experiences. Let me go back. Consider, blessed souls, your blessed speech experiences. Don't take your speech for granted, blessed souls. It is something which is a blessing. Ask anyone who loses their voice. Ask anyone who can only communicate you with sign language, who cannot speak, and you'll understand your speech should never be underestimated. Each word you utter can be a nugget of gold, or the opposite if it's in a negative train of projection. So your speech experiences, which can be understood as the actualized appearance or revelation, just as that allegorical chunk of clay mentioned above can be shaped into a allegorical vase, drinking cup, or eating utensils, so too your blessed chunks of thoughts, which possess their own unique spiritual volume, density, and weight, as we just mentioned above, can be actualized into any type of speech sequence concerning any subject matter that pertains to your general and specific interests. Now, if we consider our thoughts as more than just some sort of allegorical clay, to assume some form of shape via our tools of intellect, we are assuming a more flexible consciousness towards our thought process as it is distilled constantly in a stream. And this type of stream condenses into our speech experiences, or if you prefer, our stream of thoughts condense into our speech experiences or speech processing abilities. In fact, the grandfather of the Tzemach Tzedek, who brought down this teaching, which was stated by the Tzemach Tzedek in his Sefer Likutim, their Alter Rebbe, the older Rav, taught, as is recorded in his seminal work, Likuti Torah, literally a gleaning of instructions, Torah instructions, that a distinct differentiation occurs when we're considering two experiences, namely Machashava, which is thought, and Hirhur. Machashava, which is our thought experiences, which for the past two programs and up until now, I have been working on to hopefully gently alert you, blessed souls, of the importance of channeling your constant flow of letters within your blessed mind and within your blessed heart towards positive, nurturing, empowering, eternal concepts. However, the Alter Rebbe, the older Rav, wants us, and will always want us to be aware of that when human beings think about a concept with no consideration to express their thoughts, if you're writing them down or speaking them to another, this is just called plain machashava, thought, meaning a thought that you do not communicate actively. It is just something that you're sort of immersed within that allegorical clay that exists within your very tangible mind, which how much more so is dwelling within your also blessed tangible right, left, and back brain cognitive processing experiences. But when we get to Hirhur, the Tzemach Tzedek brought down, connecting to the teaching of his grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, Hirhur is when a human being contemplates upon what he or she will actually communicate to other human beings via human speech experiences. Hirhur is also coined as Machashava Tato, an expression of lower level thought. Due to its condensing into human speech, we talked about that idea before, but so that thought is a condensation. Well, when thoughts get revealed as speech, we're observing the condensation of a upper-level thought into a lower-level thought, which then morphs into human speech, or more accurately, the source of human speech, the byproduct of another way of looking at it as a contracted human thought. Now, with that being said, we're going to pick up on this concept, Bezer Hashem, with the help of the Most High next week. I want to take a short musical break because I know a lot of people listening out there right now all around the world are wondering, wow, you know, this is deep stuff. I'll have to think about it, and therefore I will consider you and request of you humbly to review these teachings. You can, when you listen to the archive version, or those of you who will be listening for the first time on the archive version, you can. There's a way of going to the cursor, which is moving from left to right when you're listening to the radio program in its archive version, and you can replay these concepts to review, and questions, comments, concerns, of course, are always welcome. But right now we're going to take a short musical break. This is a song that was composed by Blessed Brother Ari Lesser. This is called Purim Poetry Slam Remix. This is something that young Rav Ari, before he became more internationally known, although he started to get some positive feedback from his talent. He's extremely talented, and his career has really shot off since the past 2 years. He did a song which is basically a response to those who hate us, those of the Haman-like mindset. And he was thinking about that time, about we are not concerned, and we assert that we are not concerned about the hate speech and the hate and the promotion of hateful actions on the part of modern Persia, which the world would call modern Iran. But let Larry Esser chant it out. He said he does it much better than I do in trying to elucidate such concepts. So here we go for the next 5 minutes and 2 seconds. Ari Lesser, Purim Poetry Slam Remix. And then we're going to finish off with some Purim PowerPoints, outsourcing inspirations from the Lubavitch Rebbe and his father-in-law, the Rebbe Ratz, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, both descendants, direct descendants of King David and Solomon. Here we go. Ari Lesser, Purim Poetry Slam Remix. Enjoy, everyone.
The Jews don't fear you, we fear God. We don't give a damn about your evil plans, cause no man can stand up against God's hand. Not the first to curse us, won't be the last. And if I were you, I would learn from the past. Many came before you to do us wrong, but they're all long gone and we still stand strong. In ancient Iran lived a man named Haman, who rose in the capital of Shushan. When he walked down the street, one guy named Mordechai, a Jew who served on the God Most High, and day after day he refused to obey, so Haman decided he would make him pay, but it wasn't enough just to kill one man. Instead he devised a grand master plan and persuaded the king to kill every Jew from the land to Kush, all the way to Hodu, drew random lots to determine the date, put our people's lives in the hands of fate. And it fell on the 13th day of Adar. They would slay every Jew, both near and far. When we heard the news, we wept and fasted. Sackcloth and ashes spread through the masses. We turned to Hashem, all of Israel, praise at the wicked Haman who fell. This song goes out to Ahmadinejad. The Jews don't fear you, we fear God. We don't give a damn about your evil plans, cause no man can stand up against God's hand. Not the first to curse us, won't be the last. And if I were you, I would learn from the past. Many came before you to do us wrong, but they're all long gone and we still stand strong. Haman just could not wait for the day that the Jewish people would meet their fate, cause every day he saw Mordechai at the gate, and his heart was filled with so much hate. When he complained to his friends and his wife, they told him, I just take that Jew's life. So he built the gallows 50 amos high and tried to have the king hang Mordechai. But the queen secretly turned out to be a girl from a nice Jewish family. And she came into the king, told him that someone was trying to wipe again. Enraged, anyone would threaten the life of those close to the woman he chose as a wife. The king asked her who's behind this plan. She replied, this wicked Haman is the man. He scrambled in chair, he lost control. He begged Queen Esther to spare his soul. But the king decided that Haman must die on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. This song goes out to Ahmadinejad. The Jews don't fear you, we fear God. We don't give a damn about your evil plans, cause no man can stand up against God's hand. Not the first to curse us, won't be the last. And if I were you, I would learn from the past. Many came before you to do us wrong, but they're all long gone. If we still stand strong, President, that'd be fine. You're just like Haman, but instead of the gallows, you're building a bomb. You wanna see more than high family dead, but your wickedness is dropped down on your own head. Open your ears, we won't disappear. Been here 3,800 years, we were slaves to Pharaoh, who God set us free and taught the Egyptians in the Red Sea. The wicked Balak and Bilam tried messing with us, but their curse turned into a blessing. The Canaanites tried to fight us, but all of them had to fall like Jericho's wall. Goliath the Philistine talked a lot, but David knocked them out with a slingshot. Assyrians conquered every other land, but they ran when they came up against God's hand. Babylon took us into captivity. We're back, they've been gone since BCE. And Haman, who decreed every Jew should die, got hanged on the gallows he made for Mordecai. Our enemies fade, but we still exist. Do you really want to add your name to the list? You've been warned, if you don't proceed with caution, we'll name a food after you like Haman Tosh. And this song goes out to Ahmadinejad. Jews don't fear you, we fear God. We don't give a damn about your evil plan, cause no man can stand up against God's hand. Not the first to curse us, won't be the last. And if I were you, I would learn from the past. Many came before you to do us wrong, but they're all long gone and we still stand strong.
And we're standing strong with music like that of inspiration from Young, Righteous, Ari Lessa, Purim Poetry Slam Remix. And we now introduce, we humbly want to be parenthetically speaking and respectfully interrupt our trains of thought that we were engaged in before we played Ari Lessa's music. And along with this humble effort that so far we've engaged in the past 33-plus minutes, we now want to share with you, blessed souls, some particular Purim PowerPoints. Since, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, surprise, surprise, we can't conclude this broadcast without extracting some inspiration. That's right, Hasidic information from a Hasidic discourse delivered by the 7th Lubavitcher Rebbe 35 years ago. So here we go. Once upon a time, as we recorded in the Book of Esther, it's also known as Megillus Esther, a king of Persia, namely Ahasuerus, found sleep eluding him. So he ordered the chronicles recorded during his reign as the king of Persia, where he ruled, over 127 provinces, from Hodu ad Kush, to be read before him. And to learn more about this historical event, blessed souls, you have to go to the Book of Esther, chapter 6, verse 1. And the Rebbe went on to explain, so significant was this occurrence, that when we of Israel reached this verse, as recorded in the customs of the Maharil, as recorded in the Orech Chaim of the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, end of chapter Tofresh Tzadik, 690, the congregational reader of the Megillah, or the Book of Esther, needs to, in fact, elevate the volume of his voice accordingly, since this verse from chapter 6, verse 1 in the Book of Esther, Megillus Esther, indicated indicates and will always indicate when the essence of a historical miracle transpired. What was that? When King Ahasuerus had trouble sleeping that historical night? But yet that's what we're taught, blessed souls, in the tractate Megillah, Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, page 19, side A. Now, a question could be posed, as it was 35 years ago by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. At first glance, wouldn't we consider a greater miracle to have transpired, as recorded in the Megillah, the book of Esther, when the righteous prophetess Queen Esther, Atzadkanit Naviya Malcha Esther, requested, and I'm going to be reading now from the book of Esther, blessed souls, and you can learn more about this by going to the book of Esther, Megillus Esther, chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. And Esther made a request from the ancient Persian king, who happened to be her husband at that time, Melech Ahasuerus, the king Ahasuerus, quote, "If I have won your majesty's favor, and if it pleases the king, let my life be granted to me, as my request, and my people, as my petition. For we have been sold as slaves and servant girls. I would have kept quiet, for the adversary is not worthy of the king's damage." And again, you can learn more about that, blessed souls, by going to the book of Esther, chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. We also should be aware, blessed souls, preparations were made before even the righteous prophetess Queen Esther, Atzadkanit Naviya Malka Esther, Esther Amalka, spoke to the wise and simultaneously foolish King Ahasuerus of ancient Persia, as recorded in the book of Esther. And to learn more about that, blessed souls, go to the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 16, quote, "Go assemble all the Jews to be found in Shushan, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I with my maids will fast also. Then I will go to the king, though it is unlawful. And if I perish, I perish." Because in those days, blessed souls, the law was to approach the most powerful man on the physical plane of this physical earth, around 2,500 years ago, give or take several years, one had to be summoned by the king. And so Queen Esther literally was ready to throw away her life by coming to the king, even though she was his wife, his queen. So to speak, the second most powerful person in his kingdom, aside from himself. And yet he was pleased by her appearance, which again you can go and learn about by reading in the book of Esther. Yet, here we learn out, as the Rebbe mentioned, he himself outsourcing from the first Hasidic discourse that was delivered by his father-in-law, the Rebbe Rayatz, Rebbe Yosef Yitzhak Schneerson. The Rebbe outsourced from a Hasidic discourse which was delivered by the Rebbe Rayatz in 1940, corresponding to the Hebrew calendar date of Tavshin. After the Rebbe Rayatz had successfully escaped from the European blood-drenched soil, which had become Haman-influenced, Nazi-infested, and had actualized Hashem Yirachem, Hashem HaMercy, Shelo Kam Pamayim Tzara, that this trouble should never occur again, Europe at that time had turned into a blazing Amalek inferno. And the Rebbe's father-in-law stressed that we understand from within the dimensions of Panimita Torah, the inner dimensions of Torah, which are transmissions, elicitations from Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, the spiritual Garden of Eden, that the arousal or the hindrance of King Ahasuerus sleeping that night, that historical night, as depicted in chapter 6, verse 1, alluded to actually a type of spiritual arousal of the Malkus Shel Olam, the King of the Universe. Now, what brought about the spiritual arousal of the King of the Universe? It was affected, and we're not talking about Ahasuerus, we're talking about the Creator, Now, before you jump the gun, but how could Creator Hashem, God, be awoken or spiritually aroused? Let's go into it, and let's keep our cognitive minds in control of our hearts, which might be going through a sort of emotional and affect ourselves in a way that we experience cognitive dissonance instead of learning what the teachings of Panemius HaTorah have to offer. That historical night of King Achashverosh experiencing the arousal in the middle of sleep, or the hindrance of sleeping peacefully, came about through the tshuva, the experience of repentance by the Jews of those days, around 2,500 years ago. And what brought about the tshuva, the repentance of the Jews in those days? By heeding to the instructions of the righteous prophetess Queen Esther, Atzat Kanit Neviah Malka Esther. For the Jews up until that time, the Rebbe went on to explain, according to the elucidations of his father-in-law, the Rebbe Rayatz, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, for up until the point in that time, in the story of Purim, which we celebrate to this day, the Jews were spiritually sleeping due to their wrongful ways within the context of a Torah-healthy lifestyle. And when the Jewish nation is spiritually asleep while dwelling upon this blessed earth, there can manifest, lo aleinu, not upon us, a severe divine judgment which is suspended above there in our heads. However, emphasizing the positive, when the Jewish nation engages in learning Torah, fulfilling mitzvahs, and acts of kindness, we ourselves as a nation have testified, can testify this very day, and will always testify, that when we are spiritually awakened, we can openly testify that, as King David prophetically wrote in the book of Psalms, chapter 121, verse 4, "Behold, Creator does not slumber, and He does not sleep." And I add parenthetically, "the eternal guardian of Israel." So we are making an appeal, so to speak, blessed souls, to all those Haman-like, Amalek-like, neo-Nazi, KKK, fanatical Islamic, and there are also, unfortunately, some fanatical Christian people who hate us without any due to cause. We are slowly awaking, all of you haters of Jews and haters of humanity. We, the Jewish people, are slowly awakening, along with so many other brave B'nai Noach, children of the direct descendants of Noah, who is the, so to speak, the replication of original man as the father of all humanity. With most, the 99.99% of humanity was wiped out at the time of that flood over 4,100 years ago. And we see today all over the world, in various places, in Texas, in Sfas, in Brooklyn, in South America, South Africa, California, Chicago, all over the world, so many of the nations of the world at this moment are actively learning about what their responsibilities are in terms of being humans blessed and anointed with a Tzelem Elokim, and therefore it becomes their obligation to learn what their responsibilities are. And it's our responsibility as Jewish people to encourage the nations of the world, Kol Mishpacha Adama, all the families of the earth, to seek out a higher plane of consciousness. As we Jewish people also, if we're talking about it, we also have to upgrade, and I talk about myself experiencing, hopefully in the very future, also increased positive awakenings within myself by learning Torah, praying more with more devotion, and engaging in more commandments, especially those which involve acts of kindness. And therefore, all of you Haman-like, Amalek-like, neo-Nazi, KKK, hateful Islamic people, hateful Christian people, and even self-hating Jews, or anyone else who's in that category of self-hating, more likely than not, you are projecting hatred upon not just Jewish people, but other people as well who are not like you because of your own self-hatred of yourself, because you refuse to look into the mirror of human experience to see that every person is just a mirror reflection of yourself. It would be very worth your while to seek Creator and cease and desist worshiping hatred, worshiping jealousy, and the type of competitions and outlandish statements, as the leader of Iran recently said, that the greatest threat in the Middle East is this teeny tiny nation called Israel, when they themselves are fueling the fires of hatred and murder, destabilizing the planet. Now, I won't be surprised, blessed souls, that we will soon see a redirecting of human consciousness and energy of all human beings to serve the Creator with one accord. And it might seem for these mindsets of Haman and Amalek and neo-Nazi, KKK, and all other self-hating people who project out through their faith-based perspectives a hatred towards other members of the human community who are not like them, it might seem very difficult to redirect their energy. However, you consider all of you who are self-hating. Hashem shall have mercy on you. God shall have mercy on you. All of you say, Allah, may Allah have mercy on you. To consider that once you make that courageous and bold and brave, intellectually correct decision, an emotionally positive charged movement, I will not be surprised. I can't promise you, but I won't be surprised that you will merit to elicit a tremendous bounty upon yourselves, upon your families, upon your communities, and your nation, or the nations that interact with your nation. Now, I want to end with two things. Number one, yesterday I had a very pleasing experience where I work. One of the individuals who has been working there relatively a short time came up and said, Don, I understand, you know, tomorrow's a holiday for you. Can you explain it to me? Well, you know, to try to explain 10 chapters in the middle of my work day, and I was fasting, so I wasn't firing on all cylinders. I said to myself, you know, this happened for a reason. It's Hashkacha Pratis, divine providence. So I took about 5 minutes to explain to my coworker and also a friend, Frederick, from the Caribbean, what Purim is in a nutshell. And at the end I said, listen, Frederick, do you have off tomorrow? He said, yes, I do, Don. So I said, listen, take about a half hour, and if you want to read it more incisively, I'm saying this now parenthetically, I didn't tell him then, but I told him he has to take about a half hour and read the 10 chapters of the book of Esther. And you'll get a better understanding why. And I gave him a summarization of what took place in those days with the evil machinations of Haman and how Tzidkenit Neviah Esther Malka, the righteous prophetess Esther, had taken proper counsel from Mordechai Tzaddik, Mordechai the righteous one, to combat in a very natural form the evil designs of Haman, the Amalekite. Now, blessed souls, I want to leave you with one other thing that notice if you decide to make that proper and intellectually nice choice of reading the book of Esther today, all 10 chapters, notice there's not one mention of the name of God. Yet, the primary means by which, the human means by which there was salvation took place through the counsel and advice, and those who act upon the advice of Mordechai Tzaddik, a prophet of God, and also Esther Amalka, Queen Esther, a prophetess of God. Yet we don't see any of the names of the Creator, who has many names, which are indicative of not his essence and being, but how he is the source, the makor, the shorish, and the root of all different types of divine attributes, which trickle down and condense into attributes which we can emulate on the very teeny tiny level of human beings. That's just something to consider about and think about. And I would like to read to you something. It's an inspirational type of prayer, a pronouncement, after we read the Megillah last night and this morning. Actually, I'll read the blessing, and I'll read the pronouncement which comes after the blessing. I'm going to read in English. Again, this is with all due respect for those who hate us and hate humanity, which is only ultimately testament to them hating themselves in some way, misdirecting their hatred towards human beings instead of them just outright trying to conceal that they have some sort of hatred for the Creator, for denying the plan that Creator has for the creation, whether it be for the children of Israel or for the nations of the world. And every nation is blessed because every nation is composed of human beings who have a divine image. So let me read the after blessing after reading the the Megillas Esther, the Book of Esther, and then the pronouncement afterwards. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who wages our battles, defends our rights, avenges the wrong done to us, punishes our oppressors in our behalf, and brings retribution upon all our mortal enemies. Blessed are you, Lord, who exacts payment in behalf of his people Israel from all their oppressors, God, Creator, who delivers. And this is the pronouncement we say after that blessing. The Rose of Jacob. And to learn more about the Rose of Jacob, go to the Song of Songs, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Shir Shirim, Perek Beis, Psukim, Aleph and Beit. The Rose of Jacob thrilled with joy and exalted when they beheld Mordechai garbed in royal blue. You have always been their salvation, their hope in every generation. To make known that all who place their hope in you shall not be put to shame, nor shall all those who trust in you be disgraced forever. Arur Haman, cursed be Haman, who sought to destroy me. Baruch Mordechai, blessed be Mordechai the Jew. Arura Zeresh, the wife of Haman, who terrified me. Barucha Esther, blessed be Esther, who interceded on my behalf. Cursed be all the wicked, blessed be all the righteous. May Harvonah be also be remembered favorably. And to learn more about Harvonah, you have to go to the Book of Esther, chapter 7, verse 9. And now we're going to conclude with a song called Face the Truth, which we all have to face, blessed souls, by brother and segue ending song musicians, talented artists, and all-around righteous human being, David Dom, will help us get back home to realize our Tzelem Elohim is no dream. Our divine image will help us go in scrimmage. And today, on the day of Purim, we have to be rejoicing by facing the truth that we have a divine image. And although we might have some ambiguities and some contradictions because of our past behavior, even our current behavior, Ateva Tov Lehetiv is the nature of the good to do good. The Creator was the source of a good embedded within us. A goodness which cannot be bought or sold, but whose truth must be told, because we were excavated out of Elokus, every one of us. And I was learning also from a teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, not from that teaching I shared from you earlier from Tufshin Mem, 1980, that when a person gets into a more elevated state of consciousness about Creator and godliness, we realize Kol HaMetziyot Shel HaOlam Hu Elokut, that all the world, its existence, is an expression of godliness. But we as the stewards, the blessed and anointed stewards of the earth as human beings, as part of the entire human family experience, have to engage in learning what our responsibilities are. It's up to us, blessed souls. We have that freedom of choice as Rambam, from his seminal work, the Mishnah Torah and the Laws of Repentance, Sefer Shel Tshuva, taught that we have Bechira Chafshis, we have free will. So let's have the free will to face the truth and embrace it in a joyful and happy way, and we have a Havachad, one love, Gorlachad, one destiny, Kolon for all of us, but Darchi Noam, in a peaceful, Darchi Shalom, in a pleasant and peaceful way, Baham Sheikh, to be continued, Bez Hashem Yisbreak, to be continued with the help of the Most High. Take care, everyone. Purim Sameach.